If anyone at the Costco in SLC finds a Ravens coffee mug bottle, LOL, please return it to the Utah Jazz. Much appreciated.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter, as always, at RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Shout out to Pablo for providing those sweet graphics over on the old Instagram page as well. So check out the stories, check out the feed over there. We are kicking off mock draft week today. 5 days, five shows, five mock drafts, different size leagues, different type leagues, snakes, auctions, rotos, head-to-heads, 12 teams, 14 teams, 20 teams, multiple different things happening throughout this week. Michael Bolton, he wants to take over one of the teams.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. But Mick, before we start on the actual mock drafts, a couple of news items. Media days have begun in the NBA. A few things that are important. In Atlanta, the Baptist John Collins and Fan of Pants Kevin Huerter have reported back with injuries. Huerter has some knee pain and Collins has a hip strain. They are going to be limited in training camp, preseason. We don't know exactly. Alex Len also dealing with a back issue that's going to keep him out some time, whereas Cam Reddish is clear to go. This doesn't bother me with Collins or with Huerter heading into the season. I'm still viewing them the exact same way. What it might do is it might drop them down the board. It might make Collins into a back-end third-round guy, which is great value if you end up getting him there. This does not bother me with the Baptist's hip strain injury at all at the moment. The other big news that came out was the Clippers media day. Two things. Paul George and his shoulder. I have always said, that we're expecting a November return for Paul George. And he came out and said that, but wasn't confident. He said he'd be a return in November-ish, which is not a great sign. Surgery on both his shoulders in the off-season. So I think we have to assume that we're missing 2 weeks of Paul George. Could be up to 6 weeks if he misses all of November. I don't think that's going to be the case. But the November-ish nomenclature that he used is absolutely not confidence-inspiring. And that does give me pause for concern. Now, of course, in a head-to-head league, George is going to be fine by the time we get to February and March. If he's falling and he's falling down, say, outside the top 15 or outside the top 20, then I'm okay with it. But we are going to be expecting some missed games, 10 to 15 maybe at the beginning of the season. And when we talk about missing 10 to 15 games, we have to talk about the fun guy.
I'm a fun guy.
Now, I have said over and over again, I think load management is the term that everyone loves to talk about. It is the term that everyone wants to bring up at all stages, and it is getting overblown. And Kawhi Leonard said just about that today at Media Day. He said that he has no plan laid out for load management. Last season, they had a plan because he was coming off an injury, the quad injury. He said he feels fine at the moment. Now, I'm not sure I 100% believe him. He was a little bit hobbled in the finals, but this is the indication I've been getting from hearing about the Clippers, hearing about Kawhi, is that those 22 games, 15 rests last season that he missed, it's not going to be the case this year. And if the Clippers want playoff spot, home court advantage, top two seed in the West, he's going to have to play, especially if Paul George is going to miss the first 4 to 6 weeks of the season, 2 to 6 weeks, however you want to phrase it. Kawhi is going to have to play. The Clippers do have 13 back-to-backs. Maybe he sits out some of those. Maybe he doesn't sit out any of them. And he is always prone to pick up other injuries. We've seen this with Kawhi over the course of the year. But you see people throw around shit like they know what they're talking about all the time. Oh, Kawhi, he's only going to play 50 games. Cool. Well, if he does, that would be because of some fluky type situation. I don't expect him to play just the 60 games this year. I think 70 is a more accurate number, and that puts him more in line with guys like Davis, with guys like Curry, who might be a 72, 73, with Yanni, who was like a 71-game player last season. It puts him back into that area. It puts him back into the mix in the 8 to 10 zone in the first round. This is just, again, it was what I was feeling. I wasn't super confident with it, but this does give a level of confirmation where I am a lot more comfortable with Kawhi Leonard, and I would not let him slip. outside of the first round. He would definitely be a guy that I would pick in that 8 to 12 range. I'd feel pretty confident about it. Look, it could bite me in the ass, and if you're in a weekly changes league, that does take some of the value of Kawhi down, because it does mean that, you know, in those weeks where there's four games and he randomly sits out one of them, it hurts. So that does take a bit of value away. But in the daily changes league, I think our confidence in Kawhi Leonard should be feeling a lot more strengthened by what we've seen and what we've heard over the last 12 hours or so, depending on when you're listening to that. But that's enough out of me. Today's mock draft, that's not enough out of me, because I'm going to be blathering on for the next hour and a half. It's a long one. These mock draft shows are long, especially when we get to the long-ass auction one we're having later in the week. But today, we're looking at a rotisserie league, a 12-team roto league over on Yahoo. I don't know if I'm going to attempt a soft punt in roto. I'm going to try and keep it balanced, but if leagues are competitive, punting can sometimes have some success in roto. I would try to not do that, but at the time that I'm recording this, a little in advance before the draft starts, I don't actually know my draft spot, so I'll be back in a second. You'll find out where I'm drafting, and then we'll get straight into that roto mock draft. All right, so we're here in the draft. I do have the number one pick in this draft. It is a 9-category roto league. So that is something to pay attention to. Now, I'm not going to be paying massive attention to turnovers. You know that if teams are competitive, their turnovers will generally be higher. Teams do tend to drop out in roto leagues. They pay less attention and their turnovers, their number jump up. So you don't need a 10 or an 11 in that category to actually win a league. Fives or sixes, threes and fours can sometimes win as well. So I'm not paying massive attention to turnovers here. In fact, on Basketball Monster, you can do weightings for categories. I have left turnovers on. I haven't fully punted it. I've turned it to 0.5 in terms of waiting for the turnover category. For this 9-cap roto draft, I am at pick number one. Shaka Hack is in. The whole squad is here. I am pick number one. And I could have now... I've said this plenty of times, numerous ways to go. In a roto league, if I've got pick one, I do like the well-roundedness of Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns. I've picked Towns before at number one. I'm going to take Davis this time at number one. No real reason. This is, again, that question of who have I got number one. If anyone asks that question, who am I going to be at number one? Who do I pick? I don't think there is really a wrong answer. That's what I'm trying to get to. My time's running down. That's what I'm looking at. I'm going to push drafting Anthony Davis as my number one pick. I don't think there is an incorrect answer. Out of Davis, Towns, Harden, Curry, and Gianni Antetokounmpo, I went with Davis number one. Towns went at number two, which I think is absolutely reasonable and a fantastic pick in a 9-cat roto format. Even in an 8-cat, I could see the old Townsy going there at pick number two. So he does go at pick number two here to Raymond. Gianni Antetokounmpo goes at number three to Al Pedrino, and then I assume we're going to have Harden and Steph go here. Yeah, Harden at four. I wouldn't be surprised to see, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jokic go at number five, but Shaka Hack goes with Steph at number five, and that is the standard top five, the standard top six, in fact, with Nikola Jokic going at number six. Now, interestingly enough here, as I talked about earlier, will people pay attention to the Kawhi Leonard news? Joel Embiid, I'm strengthening on him as well. No, Lillard goes at seven. This is where it gets interesting. Peter in the old shit slot here at number eight. Does he take Kawhi? Does he take Embiid? I would take Embiid personally in this spot. In a roto league, I feel okay about him. I would have both him and Kawhi there ahead of Kyrie, who's another option in that spot. But I think that we can feel okay about it. I feel much better about Kawhi and Embiid at this spot. We have got Embiid did go at eight. Kawhi does go at nine to processing. So again, this recent news for Kawhi has changed it up. You would have seen him slide into the 11 to 15 type of range previously as people shit their pants, expecting him to miss 30 games this season, which again is not something that I think is going to happen unless an injury occurs, which of course could. And then that would be a disastrous type situation. So we've got at number 10, Ooh La La is on the clock. Some interesting choices here. Maybe number 10 is now the shit spot in the draft. Do you take a Kyrie? I probably think you do. Do you take Brad Beal, who definitely won't take the amount of, who won't play the amount of minutes that he did last season? Kyrie does go at 10th here. At number 11 and number 12, Darren and James, which it isn't James, someone else took over that team. LeBron goes at number 11.
LeBron James.
Remember, this is a roto league, so dealing with LeBron's free throws could be an issue. Brad Beal and Jimmy Butler on the turn number 12 and 13 to James's team, and then Drew goes at number 14. So, yeah, everything going in a pretty strong order here as we would anticipate these picks to go. I'm happy with where I'm sitting with Davis there at number one. And then it's a long way back for me at 24. I am going to need a guard. Assists do dry up pretty quickly. So out of my next two picks, De'Aaron Fox, D'Angelo Russell, Mike Conley, maybe Kemba Walker slides to me here. I don't want Russell Westbrook in a roto league. Those percentage hits are really a trouble. So I'm probably, even if he slides, I probably will leave him and let someone else take that big hit. He's also dealing with a knee injury. He's going to miss the first preseason game. It's not a problem for the season, but he's had so many knee surgeries that I just worry that something like that could flare up again for Russell Westbrook during this season with Houston. So in a head-to-head league, as you saw in the mock last week, I did take Westbrook around this spot. I won't take him here in a roto league. Drummond at 15, that is ballsy from Ulala, roto league. Now you do have to really, he's got to be paying attention to that free throw percentage, whether he fights to bring it back up or he does go with the riskier move in a roto league and punting that category. So that team, and also number 11, Darren's team, and Ulala, we're going to watch to see what they do with that free throw percentage category, because it is going to be key to how they build their team. Trae Young off the board at number 16 to Processing. Really strong start from Processing. And as you can see here, Paul George just remaining there. Now, if Paul Lee George falls to 24 or 25 with me, I will take him at that spot as well. I am worried about the injury and how long that's going to last into the season. But at 24 or 25, I think that's a fair enough spot to be considering Paul George. Kemba Walker at 17, that's fair enough. I think we're going to see DeAndre Ayton go pretty soon. That would be a guy I'd be looking for. I'd be happy to take him with my pick. Rudy Gobert at 18, so that team needs to watch their free throw percentage as well. Tiago, grabbing him. At that spot, the KZs are on the board. They picked Nikola Jokic with their first round pick. Where else are we at now? All right, so that was now that is aggressively early for De'Aaron Fox. That is a ballsy move. I don't know what the right term to call that is, because it's not something that I would do. James, correct. Don't discuss players that haven't been drafted yet. Yes, I do agree with that, James. You've heard me say that. Of course, everyone knows Paul George exists. We can see him at the top of the queue, but that is a good point. Shaq Ahak on the board here. Will he take Paulie George here? I think you've got to start looking at this point. Number 20, letting that clock wind all the way down. Nikola Vucevic. Now that's fine. Vuce is fine at that area. I think Ayton, Booker still on the board as well. He needs to be, and Doncic. These are guys that need to be coming off the board pretty soon. Paul George goes at 21. I'd be looking at, would I want a Phoenix combination? Probably not of Booker Ayton, but I would definitely consider both of those guys as options for myself. For El Pedrino, I think Ayton's got to go here. And if not, he's definitely the guy that I want. And I want to add a point guard, whether that's Doncic, who I'm not worried about Doncic's free throw percentage. I think it'll be fine. I'm actually not that worried about his field goal percentage. I think people look at it and go, well, he's always going to be a Russell Westbrook, who Russell Westbrook wasn't even a Russell Westbrook his whole career. I'm not having that sort of worry. Collins, Doncic, they are on the board. I'd love a Doncic here. I'd also love a Devin Booker at this spot too, but pairing him with Ayton, the two sons, it doesn't really, actually, you know what? It doesn't worry me at all. I don't even know why I'm talking about it. Russell Westbrook goes at 22, so that decision is taken out of my hands. So my Ayton, Doncic, Booker trio, I'm going to get two of those, and I'm pretty happy with getting those three guys at this spot. Chris Paul off at 23. Okay, so now the decision is to me, which of these three guys do I want? I think I love Doncic, but I think I have to take the two Suns guys here. Let's draft. Oh, do I get a center? It's two centers, though, in a Yahoo default league. Getting assists is tough later on. So is the Booker-Doncic combo something I want, and then get my centers in round four, round five? That's the tough decision I have to make here about what sort of I think I'm doing that actually. Let's change tack. Let's take Doncic at that pick. Let's take Booker with the next one, and let's grab centers later on. That is going to help my assists out pretty nicely with those two guys. I could end up regretting that. You know, the Baptist was there. DeAndre Ayton was there. Ayton just went at 26. That's strong from you, Raymond. I just decided I wanted to get some assists up here. And then in 4 and 5, there's Bam Bam Adebayo. There's the tank Tom Bryant. Larry Markkanen, he could be used as a big man. The blocks are pretty piss poor there from him as well. Kristaps Porzingis, does he fall?
Porzingis.
Do we get... who else is available? Derek Favors in that zone. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. He's another option in that area as well. So there are going to be some plays, and that's the decision that I made to go there. My field goal percentage takes a bit of a hit, getting Booker and Doncic, but Davis there does help to balance that. And I'm at about a neutral level with field goal percentage. These three guys combined for 48% according to my projections. So room to go up there as well. Number 27, El Padrino picked Mitchell Robinson. Now they went with Westbrook at pick 22. So that is a strong free throw punt situation. Their free throws are going to look pretty terrible from now on. Don Mitchell goes to DC at number 28. Mitchell was really strong in the second half of last season. Conley will have somewhat of an impact on him. It's all about free throw rate in terms of overall rank for Don, but you're getting 20 points, you're getting steals, you're getting some assists, you're getting threes. I feel pretty okay about him here and should see a rise in efficiency. Now, I did mention this earlier about John Collins, that he's hip strain, I think, will cause people to be a bit worried. And we're seeing him fall a little bit already. Now, if he falls down into the fourth round, then that's getting too... people are panicking too much. Miles Turner at 29. Chris Middleton at 30. That's way too high for Chris Middleton. I don't see it. Benny Simmons at 31. You got to watch that free throw percentage. I think Simmons will hit his first career three this season. That's not going to have too much of an impact in your fantasy league, but to me, that is too early on Chris, and you're seeing this impact on the John Collins injury. It's something I posited earlier, that he will fall because he has an injury at the moment, and he's fallen all the way down to 32. He could have been taken at 22, and it wouldn't have been wrong. Peter snapping him up there. So that is a good illustration of where Collins could potentially fall, and in other drafts where people maybe aren't as sharp as some of the guys in this draft, you may see him fall even into round four. So pay attention to that, and you could find yourself getting a steal. It is interesting, with the amount of bad free throw shooters early on, Mitch Robinson, Benny Simmons, Russell Westbrook, Rudy Gobert, Andre Drummond, that again, if those four get spread out amongst four different teams, then it means that, well, they might be punting free throws, but it means also the best of those four gets 4 points instead of 1 point. And in a roto league, that's not bad. And then if you can build yourself up maybe to get 5 or 6 points, you're in the mix there. It's if you're in a situation where you load up on all the free throws and you're stuck at one with no ability to move, that does make it harder. But getting a bad free throw guy and getting 4 or 5 points while boosting your other categories is not a poor decision.
Percentages.
He goes off the board at pick number 33. I like that. What we heard is he's probably going to have more load management at the beginning of the season. Maybe not as much at the end, but I also throw this out there. If the Mavericks aren't in playoff contention, then maybe he does rest more at the end of the season as well. So it might be bookended by rest at the beginning and rest at the end. Mick Conley goes at 34. Draymond Green at 35. Nothing controversial about those picks. That's the right spot for both of those guys. Whoa, that is early for Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., number 36. I think that is too high for him. James taking him there. Otto Porter at 37, about the right spot for Porter. Interestingly, Pascal Siakam not off the board. Now, he should be going at this spot. He should be really be considered. Clint Capella, another guy who's a punt free throw type guy. Darren grabbing him. Ulala grabbing Zion Williamson, another poor free throw percentage guy. This is all showing you that you can grab these poor free throw guys in Roto because there's so many of them around that that can spread those points out for you. So that is, I think that's important to really remember and have a look at how your team looks in terms of where you fit in the free throw scheme of things. So that is interesting. Now, Siakam is the one, the weird one here in terms of me. who's falling. The Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
He's still around. Kevin Love's still around. The two always big sliders whose value on a per game basis is higher than their total value. There goes Siakam at number 40. I think that's some pretty good value. I like Tom Bryant coming up. I like Lauri Markkanen coming up for me. They're guys that I am throwing into my queue. Markkanen as well. I think Markkanen could have a big year. I think Markkanen's the leading scorer for the Bulls this year, taking over from Zach LaVine. That would be how I would look at that. LaMarcus Aldridge also a really, really strong option here for a Roto League with his strong percentages. Same with Adebayo. These are all guys who I think are going to fit pretty nicely. With what I want to do, at least want one of those guys. I am still seven picks away. Who is on the clock now? Processing took Pascal Siakam. Peter at 41, making his move. Covington's on the board. Yeah, Tatum, X-rank 37, too high. Rank 25, nonsense. Buddy Hield, rank 22, nonsense. They are poor decisions if you're making those selections there. Bob Covington goes at 41. His value almost exclusively coming from steals, but that can be helpful. Bam Bam off the board.
Bam Bam! Bam Bam!
So Bam Bam goes at 42. Toby Harris goes at 43. You know I'm not as high on Toby as others, but he will provide solidly efficient scoring and good amount of points, solid threes. Just those other areas can tend to lack. Eric Bledsoe at 44. Smart pick by Shaka Hack there. I think it's actually, yeah, is it Shaka Hack? Yeah, 44. And D'Angelo Russell, well, he fell a long way down to number 45. I think he can be a third-round guy, but again, people are obviously paying attention to his turnovers. All right, so D'Angelo at 45. I'm two picks away. I've got three guys in my queue, so I'm going to get at least one of those guys as a big man, which is what I'm looking for. Rebounds and assists and points are the hardest categories to come by. So I'm looking at probably Aldridge as the guy that I want here with this next pick. And then, yeah, Markin and Tom Bryant, do I go that direction? Do I grab another point guard if Kyle Lowry's there? He is, he's someone that I'm keen on as well. So if I can get Lowry and one of these big men, although Lowry is dealing with a thumb injury still, Lauri Markkanen off the board, by the way, Lowry's still dealing with that thumb issue, which caused him to pull out of Team USA for the FIBA World Cup. I'm not worried too much about him beginning the season, but it is something to pay attention to. Lauri Markkanen off at 46 to Team Padrino, and then Lowry goes at 47 to Raymond. So that screwed up my idea there. Let's take, let's go with, do I want big Tom Bryant or do I want LaMarcus? I think I want LaMarcus because I want the extra scoring that he brings. Absolutely putrid in terms of steals, as is Devin Booker. So that's going to really hurt my team. I do need to grab some steals guys later, but let's grab LaMarcus here, add him to my team. And then with the next pick, what I'm looking to do, now I do probably need another point guard at this spot. Do I grab Malcolm Brogdon, who can be an elite point guard in terms of Roto because of his high percentages? He's a guy that, you know, has some poor assist numbers in Milwaukee over the last couple of years. Do I get another big like the Tank, Tom Bryant, or do I grab that assist guy? Let's go with, was it Zach LaVine? The decisions. I think, how are my points looking? They're looking pretty bloody good. So let's grab Brogdon, add him onto the squad, and then let's get some big men and steals again with the next bunch of picks. So that's my team there. Davis, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon gets that boost in a Roto League because of his super strong percentages. The Rooster, the Italian Cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
He goes there at pick number 50. Who is on the board now? Al Padrino. I do need steals. I'm really struggling in the steals category, so I need to get some steals. Someone like a Derek Favors is a decent steals guy as a big man. Terry Rozier could help me there. Larry Nance. Now, I think with my combined free throw percentage on my team is 83%. Taking Nance to get those steals is going to be something that is on the board for me when we get back around to my pick at the end of round six at 72-73. I don't know what the Cavs are going to do. They could screw it up and put Tristan Thompson there, but Nance should be the guy that's getting 27 minutes a night. And in 27 minutes, he can still be a top 90 guy. High efficiency from the field, good steal numbers, decent rebounds, scores a little bit. Assists were way up last year as well. The Tank Tom Bryant goes there at number 52, so strong from Tommy at that spot. Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas is a good option here. Zach LaVine, I'm going to throw them on my board. Josh Richardson will be a target for me as well. Don't think his offense is going to be great this year, but the defensive numbers is going to suit what my team needs. No doubt about that. So value in all those guys. Coming up, Lonzo Ball, you know, the percentages is obviously a huge worry for Lonzo, but can he help my assists, rebounds, steals, and blocks? Really helpful in those categories on my team. Again, my team's averaging from these five guys projected to average 24 points per game. So I've got a lot of room to drop those points down and start to build up those categories where I'm struggling, like in steals. Shaka Hack taking his time here at pick number 53. I think Bud's going to be the pick here. No, Tatum. Well, that makes sense. They were the two guys at the top of the queue. Kevin Love and Blake Griffin sliding a little bit also. They're in play at this spot. Johnny Isaac, another guy I've got to look at for defensive numbers. Terry Rozier, he's going to absolutely piss all over your field goal percentage, but the minutes are there. He's going to bludgeon his way to stats. That's basically just what I've said continually with Rozier, just going to smack you over the head with bad shots and bad volume. That's going to bring some pretty strong fantasy numbers, especially in a fantasy points league. Rozier can have some significant value. Probably him and Julius Randle, the two biggest risers in a fantasy points league outside of Andy Wiggins. Tatum at 53, the KZs taking their time. They go with Jonas Valanciunas. That's really strong to get JV there. Another big man with elite percentage numbers. Jamal Murray, the blue arrow, goes at 55, and Peter on the clock now at 56. So let's have a look. Which pick are we going for there? Now, Brookie Lopez at 56 to Peter. Yeah, Lopez is totally fine to be grabbing around this area. No issues with getting him there. Derek Favors at 57. Again, he has some issues with free throws. I seem to be the only person who's really high on Favors heading into this season. People are looking at his numbers from last year where he played power forward and then backup center and minutes limited, but he is the center. Like, the other center on this team is Jolly Locofor. Like, he is going to have to play 28 and up, I would think. He put big rebound numbers, good field goal percentage, good shot blocker, really improved all those numbers last season. Kevin Love goes at 59, Levine at 58, Love at 59, Budrick at 60, Budrick Hield, really like that for Hield at 60. He's going to be banging in a lot of points and a lot of threes. Not much else, but that still can be really valuable. Well, Julius Randle at 61, and he, on the other way, similar thing. Points and rebounds, not a huge amount else, although I do think that Randle's assist numbers for the Knicks will go up this season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes at 62 to Dazza. At 63, Ulala is looking for his guy, which is, I think it has to be Blake or DeMar. They're the guys you want to hit. Yeah, Blake Griffin at 63. So it's that's about the right spot to grab those guys. I really do need steals here. Joshy Richardson's probably going to be my number one target here, along with Nance. I've got Miles Bridges, Wendell Carter as options. Can I absorb Rozier's absolute shitful field goal percentage at this point? Probably not. Nancy and Richardson, Wendell Carter, wherever he is on this list, he's going to get thrown on here. Where else are we at? Miles Bridges has got to be on my board. Kelly Oubre is another guy on my board for his defensive numbers that he showed last season. I think I can probably absorb Lonzo's field goal percent. I can definitely absorb his free throw percentage. Can I absorb his free throws? I say his field goals are another issue. Gordo Hayward off at 64, that's a pretty solid pick. I'm pretty interested in what Gordo is going to provide this season. I think that a bounce back is not necessarily 100% likely, but in a pretty decently likely. Maybe that's the best way of spotting it. 65, Peter, he is on the board, or on the clock here. That's the, I always, why do I keep getting that phrase wrong when I'm doing these mock drafts? All right, so I really do want some steals with my next pick. So I do need to, is it Richo? Probably is. Is it Richo and Nance? And that really gives me a nice buffer there on my steal numbers. Johnny Isaac goes at 65. Pete, I love Johnny Isaac. Maybe he's the right guy there. I think it's probably a little bit early, but hey, not bad. And I think people, this happens a lot, is I love a guy like Isaac, and then he gets overhyped too much, and I end up not drafting anywhere because people go too high on him. It happened, I can't remember who it happened with, John Collins, I think it happened with last year, where he came out initially in the ranks at like 100 and went, yeah, smash the shit out of this. And then he came into like 30 and went, you know what, that's too high. So that does happen. I get the feeling that maybe Isaac and Shai could be becoming those guys this season. CJ McCollum's still on the board, rightfully so. I'm not massively high on him this season. Another guy I can get at my round 8 pick, perhaps, is DeLon Wright or Maximum Derek White.
Maximum Derek.
For steals. And if you haven't listened, I did do a podcast and I did do a show over the weekend explaining all of my sound drops and all of the nicknames. So if you want to understand where any of this shit comes from, go and watch and listen to that show and you'll find out. And I think I covered nearly everybody on those shows. Or that show. It was singular. 66 is CJ McCollum. I am still 5 picks away as I look to boost my steal numbers. It's always the problem with Aldridge. He helps your percentages, kills your steals, but steals are something that can be grabbed later on in the draft. There is some value in waiting a little bit on those numbers. You can get those players, which is what I'm hoping to do with my next couple of picks. Ravishing Rick Rubio could be on the board, but I do need... Now, this is interesting that I drafted Davis and Aldridge. Both of these players who have center eligibility, Yahoo, in their infinite wisdom, didn't place either of them in my center slots, so they are obviously my two centers. So I look at my team here and look at it and go, hey, I need two centers, but no, because I filled up the forward and power forward spot first for God knows what reason, it looks empty, so I'm not really too worried about my center spot that I need to I need one more center at least. But I'm not worried that I haven't filled up the two center spots because Davis and Aldridge are those center eligible players. Although it's getting to the stage where at number 72, Wendell Carter's going to look pretty bloody sexy on my team. I just need those steals. Ravishing Rick off the board. So Rubio off at 66, Wendell Carter at 69.
Giggity.
Kelly Oubre at 70. Raymond, your turn to try and thwart me. This is going to be, for me, Nance and Richardson at these picks. Raymond does let me go through with it. Lonzo Ball there at 71. Okay, so this is going to be Joshy. He is coming to me at this spot. And Laz Nance. And that helps my steal numbers. Now, I can absorb that free throw percentage from Nancy. 74 for Horford. Look, it's probably too early for Nance, to be honest. If you want to be realistic, maybe there was someone else I could have gone for there. I just wanted to really start to secure my steals. And even if Nance plays 26 minutes, he will be helpful. And I don't pick again for 20 more spots. So that does help to build my steals up. It ends up hurting my blocks a little bit. It hurts my overall threes, which I need to get with my last couple of picks. But overall, yeah, the way my team is tracking at the moment, I'm pretty okay with how things look at this point. I do need to start hitting on some of these later picks. Rozier, will just stick him into the queue just in case. So just need to check on the team. But overall, my assists look all right. I'm tracking solidly. Percentages are strong, which is always a good thing to build up early in a roto league because that can be hard to deal with later on. And let's fill in some of the counting stats with these next couple of picks. I've got 3 more picks to fill out my starters. In a roto league with your bench, because of 82 game limit situations, you can be looking at your bench as more of a stash area. You don't have to use these guys every night. You only use them when one of your 10 guys either struggles or gets hurt. So looking at those guys as almost an extended injury reserve is pretty important. Marvin Bagley at 76, Jeff Teague at 75.
My name is Jeff.
Bagley probably slipped a bit here. Teague, maybe a little bit early, but absolutely nothing wrong with that pick. Again, getting point cards can be pretty hard. Everybody is avoiding Rozier here because of the field goal percentage, because it's rotisserie, and I understand that. I think we're getting to the stage where he has to be taken. It would be hard for me to take him, but at this point, I think if I was looking at around pick 80-ish, I would be looking at Rozier in this spot as a 20-point-per-game guy who can rebound, steal, and get some assists. That can all be pretty useful. DeLon Wright, another guy I can be looking at later on to help boost my steals. He's still around. McCall Bridges, another guy who can help steals. Caris LeVert around to help assists if I need that. I need those numbers. But my assists and my percentages and my points are looking the strongest out of all my categories. And then need to build up some boards, some threes, some steals, and some blocks. Sabonis goes at 77. The KZs are on the board at number 78. We're going through this draft pretty quickly, actually, about halfway through in 27 minutes. So that's a decently good start. Let's hope that pace keeps up. Everyone drafting pretty solidly. Hasn't really been any dumb picks at all. Speaking of that, DeJounte Murray goes at 78. Maybe that's a little bit early for DeJounte, but it's not crazy. I like that 79. Tiago taking Miles Bridges. Interestingly, Bridges going ahead of his Charlotte teammate in Rozier. Where does Oladipo go in this situation? Remember, a bench in Roto is more of an extended injury reserve, so you can probably look at him as a little bit higher in a Roto format versus a head-to-head format. 80 is Fred VanVleet. Now, the reports out of Toronto is that Freddles is going to get the first opportunity to start at shooting guard. It doesn't really matter because he was going to play 30-plus a night, I thought, regardless. Big numbers in the finals. Don't expect those continually, but points and threes and assists, not a bad steals guy. He can get some of those. I think that he is a solid enough pick at this spot. This is about the right area and a guy that, you know, probably has been being slept on by some people. Terry Rozier finally goes at at number 81 to Processing. I like Processing's team. Trae Young, Kawhi Leonard, Gordon Hayward, Porzingis, Siakam, Favors, and Rozier. That team is looking pretty good. The other team I'm also liking is Tiago's team. So if I look at Tiago's team, which is here, Lillard, Jamal, Ben Simmons, Miles Bridges, Adebayo, Gobert, and McCollum. So punting free throws for Tiago, projected at the moment to have the worst free throws in this entire league, but that doesn't mean that you're completely out of it, because he's got strong field goals, strong rebounds, strong assists, strong blocks, good points, and good steals, and that's obviously really helpful. How he builds the rest of his team will be key. Hassan Whiteside goes to Ulala. That's an issue for free throws as well. Everyone can see my team there. Doncic, Booker, Brogdon, Richardson, Davis, Aldridge, and Nance on my squad. Marc Gasol goes at 83.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That's about, I think, the right spot for Gasol in this area. Jared Allen at 84. I'm really worried about what the Nets are going to do in terms of that center rotation with DeAndre Jordan. I think it's going to be a 24-24 situation for a lot of the season and alternating starts at times. Jingle and Joe goes at 85. DeLon Wright goes at 86. Someone said to me, Josh, why do you keep saying that Ingles is a steals guy when he's really not? So I apologize to that guy. He's not a bad steals person. He's not a good steals one. But I was putting him up in the DeLon Wright type territory. So I do apologize for misrepresenting Joe Ingles and his steals proficiency. We are 9 picks away from my turn. I don't really know what I'm looking at here. Maybe it is Maximum Derek that I'm looking to grab. I wouldn't mind getting the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, to help my block numbers, although I worry about how the Kings are going to use him, so I'll throw him into the mix. We'll throw Derek White onto the list. Ja Morant. Now, that's an interesting one, because those field goals could be a disaster, but, Derek White, Maximum Derek goes.
Maximum Derek.
So let's throw McCall and Morant onto my list. Jeremy Lamb also an option. Caris LeVert goes on my list as well. Thomas Satoransky goes down there, so I'm just adding some Q players. I do think that I need to get another big man, and I need to get some more steals, so that's what we'll be looking at. Maybe it is Morant, although he's not a great steals guy. Caris goes at 88. Dedman gets me some blocks and threes and boards. He is going to be my number one target here at this spot. Peter, Snake format is painful. That is why I prefer auction. Thank you, Peter. Auction is better. It's harder. It's longer. It's harder to get everyone there for the same time, and that's why Snake is more common. But yes, it is a better format, no doubt. But that's why I'm trying to do both of these formats. Another auction draft coming later. A Roto deeper auction draft will be coming this week. Tomorrow we're doing a deeper head-to-head league, a 14-team head-to-head. Then a standard Yahoo head-to-head. We did a standard Fantrax head-to-head last week. And then some more leagues, and I haven't completely sorted out what we're doing at the end of the week, but there is going to be a deeper auction for. I think there's going to be a 20-team snake draft in there as well. So some different mocks throughout the week. We've already done 3 mocks. We're going to have 8 mock drafts in total by the end of this week. Ja Morant goes at 89. Peter, you can eat a dick. Number 9 is Steven Adams. He goes there at pick number 90. His free throws were absolutely putrid last season. His rebounding should go up. Will he put up all his other numbers? I'm not so sure. I think he sort of is what he is at this spot. So I'm okay with him going. Dedman, Lamb, Bridges, they're probably the guys I'm looking at with my next 3 picks. Hopefully they can at least last to me down there. Dwighty Powell, Montrezl Harrell, Gaz Harris. We're getting pretty low. The other news, interestingly, Kevon Looney, an article in The Athletic by Anthony Slater, talking about how much the Warriors want Looney to step up this season. They want him shooting threes, but it was brought up that, yes, again, Steve Kerr wants him to play 30 minutes. I have no concerns of Willie Cauley-Stein playing more minutes than Looney. Now, Looney probably won't get to 30, but he should be a 27-minute-a-night guy while Cauley-Stein's a 20. Cauley-Stein is not good. He's not a good fantasy player. I don't think he's a good on-court player. Looney is better, and I feel good about taking him in the last round or last-ish type rounds of many, many drafts that I have been in. Alrighty then. I think Tomas is going to have to jump up here just to help with my assists. He's a decent enough steals guy, a one steals per game sort of player. Gaz Harris has been a 1.8 steals guy in the past. McCall Bridges is going to get me some steals. Two Clippers off the board there. KZ's with Lou Williams. The table Montrezl Harrell goes to Shaka Hack. DC on the board. Working out what I want to do here. I think I need to grab the Undertaker, and then is it Bridges? Is it Satoransky? I think it's Satoransky, and then the hope is that I could get Bridges to fall back to me at 120. I probably won't, but I think getting Tomas and Deadman will be the pick there. Jeremy Lamb goes at 93, who will be starting for the Pacers at least until Oladipo returns, and then we'll see what they do with the Lamb-Warren situation at small forward. Al Pedrino going off the board here at pick number 94. Marcus Smart, another good option for steals. Not as bad on your field goal percentage as what you might think. I think he'll get a boost in assist numbers this year, as he'll be basically the primary backup point guard as well. And you know what? Al Pedrino just took the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman. Rest in peace. So, Gaz Harris as well.
Nice, Gary!
All right, so let's wind this clock down, because I want to take Tomas here with this pick, and I just want to wind it down so I can work out what I'm doing with this other selection. What am I doing in terms of getting steals, getting rebounds? Is it Looney? Looney's a pretty good steals guy. It might be a reach, but again, if I'm at the turn, you need to make some of these moves. So I might add Kevon and Tomas at pick 96 and 97. Again, it's going a little bit high on some of these guys, but let's just go with it. Tomas Satoransky at 96. Let's take Looney next, and let's hope we can get McCall falling down. But that's sort of what I needed, some rebounding numbers. I'm not picking again to 120. Looney wasn't going to be there. Wanted a big man who could get some steals, who could get some rebounds. I need threes, like, real badly. Like, my team is shitful in terms of the three numbers. So I do need to grab someone, whether it's Bojan Bogdanovic later on. Bridges can be that guy. There are plenty of steals guys, threes guys. Terrence Ross can come in and be that player. Peter, I thought you'd take McCall. Stop mentioning players' names, for God's sake. But yes, I did want to. I did want to take him. Who are we up to now? Al Pedrino. McCall Bridges goes at 98. So there's that. I guess that hope is dashed. It was never going to be something that happened. But yeah, look, my team has taken a hit in the points column lately. I need some blocks still as well. Number one is not the greatest spot to draft at, just given how big of a gap you have. I know it's great to get a number one pick, but as I've always said, number five is the spot that you want, because it means you get a mid-round pick, you can see how things are going, and if a run of guys go, you're 10 spots away rather than 20 spots away from your pick, so that's important. Wiggins at 99, that's aggressive. Can both of his percentages come up? I'm okay that he went off the board. He is a top 80 guy in a points league, probably not a top 120 guy in a category league. So that's interesting. Ingram there at 100. I really am interested in Ingram for this season. The free throw percentage, again, is a concern, but depending on how your team looks, that can be something that is paid, you don't have to pay as much of attention to. My percentages are looking pretty strong. I'm not really caring about them at this spot. So adding someone like a Marcus Smart to my team, getting someone who can block some shots is going to be interesting as well. JaVale McGee now. We had Dwight Howard starting for the Lakers today. It doesn't mean anything. Yesterday in their scrimmage, it was McGee and Rondo that started. Today, Danny Green didn't start. They're trying out different combos, and I still believe that it will be McGee starting with LeBron, with Avery Bradley, with Danny Green, and Anthony Davis as that other guy. Marcus Smart goes at 101, so that screwed me. Thanks, Shaka Hack. Smart seems to be underrated in fantasy leagues. 102 for Serge Ibaka, maybe a little bit high, but getting those blocks, again, you might just need them because they are drying up a lot here. Zach Collins goes at 103. He would have been another option to me, a really strong roto type of a player. With his ability to be efficient, to hit threes, to block shots. At number 104, Pete, he is on the board. Oladipo still available. He is going to be someone that I think in this sort of an area, round 10, round 9 is where you should be looking at him. One of these teams should be taking that flyer on Big Vic Oladipo. Alex Lend at 104, dealing with a back injury, as I mentioned earlier. I don't think it's too serious. Their other centers aren't good. It's Damian Jones and Bruno Fernando, so I think he should be fine. JaVale goes at 105. Yuck. Yuck in terms of I wanted him. Victor Oladipo goes at 106. 107 is Davis Bertans. And this is what I mean. Picking at one is great to get number one, but all these guys that I had on my queue, 20 spots, like it's a big drop-off in a range of 20 spots as to the type of players you can get. So that is making it tough for me. Who we got here? Paddy Beverley goes at 108, which is not too bad. So who else? James is on the board now. So James took Beverley with 108. He's got his next pick here. Look, this has been a really competitive mock draft. Lots of smart picks, lots of people taking guys ahead of where they need to go. I don't like that pick of Batum at 109. I think he might actually be out of the rotation maybe in March. He might have a strong start to the season, strong-ish, but I'm really worried about what the Hornets are going to do. And if Monk shows anything, Batum's in real trouble. That's how I see that, because I'll just slide Bacon across. Dwight Powell is another guy I need to be looking at. Maxi Kleber will fit what I need as well to grab me some blocks and threes. He can fit. Bogdan Bogdanovic, is he around? Yeah, we'll throw him onto the list to hit some threes. Fanta Pants, Kevin Huerter, he is an option for me too. I need to add him to get some scoring in there. Who else have I got on my list here? Malik Monk's always a late round target for me. Šarić could be someone that I look at in a later round here. So we'll throw him onto the queue also. The future MVP is still available. Terrence Ross. Brandon Clark. That's way too early for Brandon Clark. I don't know what we're doing. Picking him at number 100. Fanta Pants goes. Thank you very much for nothing. Ooh la la. 112 is processing. Who are we going here? I think TJ Warren's got to go off the board here pretty soon. My threes are a disaster at this spot. I do need some threes and blocks. That's why Maxi Kleber is looking marginally appealing for me. It's probably one that I wait a little bit on, but he's a name that at least I'm considering. Dwight Powell, another guy, his teammate, just went off the board. I was going to take him. He's going to be in my mix at the next bunch of picks. I think Bogdan is... I love Bogdan, but is he the guy that I want? I need threes, which he's going to provide. I need blocks, which he is not going to provide. So that does make it a little bit difficult. The future MVP is still sticking around there at number X rank 99, which again is too high. The news on Kuzma as well for his injury, a stress reaction in his leg. He's not playing in the preseason. Won't be ready middle of October. I think he misses regular season time personally. That's what I've heard from talking to some Lakers people. That's not confirmed, of course. And I don't see him as a really high profile, high priority fantasy guy anyway. So we shouldn't be getting too excited about old future MVP, Kyle Kuzma. TJ Warren goes at 114. Enes Kanter at 113. I didn't mention those guys. We've got pick 115. Bogdan goes, which is absolutely annoying for me. So this is going to start pushing me into the do I want Maxi Kleber type area of the draft. We're into a pretty dark area in terms of the draft here. Dan Green, Jaylen Brown, are they guys we look at? Danny Green should be someone who can block shots as a guard, so I will absolutely consider him at this spot. Justice Winslow, it looks like he's coming off the bench, but I think his numbers will be okay. It just does put a ceiling on what he can do in terms of playing time, which is, some sort of cause for worry. Torian Prince looks like he's going to be a starter in Brooklyn at power forward with Rowdy Rodion's Kuroks in some legal difficulties, but looks like Prince is going to start. I wouldn't expect him to have anywhere near the same sort of role that he did in Atlanta, but at least the minutes will be there, so he comes into play a little bit more as well. I think Jeremy Grant at 116 feels early. I just don't see it for him with all those players in Denver as opposed to how that front court shook out with the Thunder last season. So I'm not sure on Grant at that spot, but he can give a solid enough blocks guy who hit threes at a higher level. But Olynyk at 117. Hey, maybe Winslow comes for that spot. I think Olynyk otherwise would be the starter. Jim Johnson is still around for the Heat. I do like Olynyk. But Spoelstra has had a history, as has all of his coaches, of being really, random in terms of how he plays, when he plays. He finished last season pretty strongly, Olynyk. Doesn't mean that he'll start the year the same way. Terrence Ross is someone that I am interested in at this spot. Dan Green also just getting some of those threes onto my team, which I do really start to need on my squad to boost that number up, because it is an area I'm struggling in, and I need those blocks, which is something that Green can provide. So maybe Dan is the player that we're looking at here. JJ Redick just goes off the board at 118. Raymond, he's about to come in. Rudy Gay goes at 119. All right, so what do we do with these two picks? I think we go with Terry. Let's add Terry Ross to this team. And then I think we add... Dan Green. And then in round 12 and 13, we need another big. Or is it Justice? Let's take Justice. Let's go. Let's grab Justice Winslow at that spot. Don't know why I went away from what I was thinking. But, you know, it's just, again, this is a bench spot. This is my 11th pick. He sits on the bench. He doesn't have to play every night. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then I screwed up. Green is probably not going to make it back to me again. He would be an interesting player. But I'm not... I think there's some trade value in Winslow as well. Now, I don't ever draft someone for trade value, but I think there is, as you can tell by people being pissed that I took both of those guys. So there is some appeal there. The Padawan Colin Sexton is going to be another option. Maxi Kleber is definitely someone that I want to be able to fall to me at my next pick in round 12, because he does fit what my team wants. So my team at the moment, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, LaMarcus Aldridge, Malcolm Brogdon, Larry Nance, Joshy Richardson, Kevon Looney, Terry Ross, Tomas Satoransky, and Justice Winslow. So that's how my team looks at the moment. Probably does need more rebounding, needs more blocks. So I need a big man in here somewhere. Is it Cody Zeller who I can slide in when I need those numbers? Maybe he's another guy I look at, although he's not going to play 70 games this year. He's going to be rested. We've heard the Hornets say that. He's really good, and his backups are shit. But he gets injured all the time, dicky knee, and not someone that we can rely on. Paul Millsap at 123, not massive on Millsap for this season, but at this spot it's fine. On your bench, no worries. I just think he's going to be pretty limited. Šarić at 124 is a smart pick from DC. I like that one. Eric Gordon still around. Jaylen Brown still there. Chetty Osman, another option. Yucca Poodle, someone who I like, who I might be grabbing. I'll throw him there. He could be a late round pick for me. 20 minutes a night, field goals, blocks, rebounds. At a minimum, he can be 20 minute a night guy. Can he be 24? That remains to be seen. But there's a possibility, given, again, the other centers on the Spurs are Chimezie Metu. Like, that's the other center on the team. Unless we're going full-time Aldridge at the five, unless he decides to piss his pants and complain, it would be best for the team. But, you know, he has complained, and Pop has been against that at times. But maybe with Damari Carroll and Rudy Gay there, it just forces him to play at center. No other centers. Two guys who are fours who can come in and play that role. The addition of guards like DeJounte Murray back into the mix, maybe an ascending Lonnie Walker, means DeMar's exclusively a three. Maybe that's what they do. Smoke and Joe Harris goes at 125. To which team was that? The Shaka Hack. And then we have... let's drop one of these for him.
Big Shaq.
That's for you, Shaka Hack. We're at 126. I can see Thad Young going here. I can see the future MVP going here. Marvin Williams at 92 is a nonsense rank on Yahoo. 119 X rank. He is just not going to play anywhere near as enough or as much as he played last season. Evan Fournier should be in the mix here. Same with the Iron Shoulder, Goran Dragic. And there goes Fournier at 126. Thiago, who's got one of the best teams going around so far, he went with Jakob Poeltl. He's obviously really keen on him, and that is annoying because he grabbed him at that spot. But that's strong from Thiago, who's already punting free throws, which is a bad category for Poeltl. So that does help his team out there. Again, looking really, really strong, projected to be the best field goal and rebound team. So is it overkill that he's already the best in those categories and he's adding another guy that adds there? Maybe. We'll see how it works out. Could it be a waste of a pick? Yeah, I'm not so sure. His team looks pretty strong. At the way things are currently sitting, he's projected number one with Michael Bolton and me equal second. Who's Michael Bolton? Someone's changed their team name. I don't know who the Michael Bolton team is, but it's coming up different on my draft tracker versus the Yahoo screen. Cody Zeller at... Oh, piss off. Eric Gordon at 128. Cody Zeller at 129. Jaylen Brown at 130. So both of those, that Zeller pick I like. Not sure about Gordo. Jaylen Brown is fine at that area. Dazza up now at 131. Who else do we have? This is where it's starting to get, we're getting pretty deep into the draft now. Malik Monk is going to be a flyer option at some point for somebody. You should be looking at Darius Garland as a flyer option. You can take RJ Barrett in that spot. Dwayne Bacon is absolutely in the mix. Rui Hachimura. I'm going to throw Bacon onto my list. I'll throw Rui on there as well. So Danny Green at 132. That's annoying. At 131 is DeAndre Jordan. 132 is Dan Green. 133 is Willie Cauley-Stein. Thad Young's got to start being considered as well. I think Sexton and Garland, old Sexland, they need to start coming off the board pretty soon. So we'll throw them onto my thing. Let's throw Barrett on there as well, just loading up a queue of guys. Kent Bazemore at 134. I think it's going to be Rocket Rodney Hood that starts at small forward for the Blazers. It could be Bazemore. He could also run some backup point guard, with their only other backup point guard being Anthony Simons, but that has yet to be confirmed or denied. Thad Young and Goran Dragic are falling too far here. Did I add Monk onto my list? No, I didn't, so I'm going to add him on there. Chetty Osman goes at 135. Thad Young will throw on there as well. He can really help my steals out, which actually my steals have improved quite a bit. It's blocks that I'm more looking for now. So who are some block targets? Cleaver's got to be my guy here. Let's hope that he can fall down. Threes and blocks, two of my weakest categories, can rebound. He'll be a 25-minute-a-night guy behind Porzingis and behind Powell as that third big. I don't really see anyone else taking that away from him. Norman Powell at 136, an interesting stream type of guy. If he doesn't start, it does really impact him, I believe. If it's a Zubats at 137, minutes are capped, but still can be productive in those categories you need. Landry Shamet goes to Tiago. I don't see really him as anything more than a three-point stream specialist. Maybe Tiago needs that. It's on his bench, but I don't really... He just does nothing else. Now, people have talked, maybe he's the starting point guard. I completely don't buy that. I think there's a huge chance he actually comes off the bench. It would be ridiculous, but I think there is a chance that he could come off the bench. Joshi Okogie at 139. That's him helping for that guy's steals. Who is it? The KZs gets those steals in. Shaka Hack at 140. We are banging through this draft really, really quickly, which is awesome. Is my man Maxi Kleber going to make it to me? That is the story that everyone wants to know the answer to. Oh, you absolute dickhole. Oh, man. Maxi Kleber goes at 140. The Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
Excellent flyer, and Anunoby at 141, going to start in place of Kawhi Leonard, a guy that I loved as a rookie. Appendicitis, death of his father last year, they killed his season. I think he could be a nice steel streamer who can score a bit. I think he's really, really interesting. There goes Thad Young at 142. That's somewhat annoying. I think I'm going to have to grab a rookie with one of these picks, just take a flyer on one of these guys. Goran Dragic is still there. Jesus, why is he still around? People are just not believing that he's going to be the starting point guard. I believe it. Kyle Kuzma at 143. What am I doing at this spot? All right. Taurean Prince. All right, so let's have a look at... I think it's got to be Dragic. And then my final pick. Is it Bacon? Is it Rui? Is it the Padawan? Bacon does nothing. So let's go with... Now, these are my bench guys. It doesn't matter if it necessarily fits what I'm looking at. These are not blocks players. I would have loved Kleber. But let's take the Padawan, Colin Sexton, with that pick. Hey, it's just an upside pick. Maybe he becomes good. He probably doesn't, but maybe he does. I'm ending up with Sexton, despite me... This is what I say all the time. I don't like the guys that play, oh, you're just a hater. But if they're available, I'll take them every day of the week. I don't pick players because I like them or I don't like them. It's all about what they're going to produce. And I'm getting Sexton in the late rounds in a lot of spots. 20 points per game was really strong from him at the end of last season. I don't think it continues, but can he develop those other areas? I'll take a chance. I'll stick him on my bench. I'll see how it works out. So that is my team done. Let's go through my team and how it looks. Doncic, Booker, Brogdon, Joshy Richardson, Anthony Davis, LaMarcus Aldridge, Larry Nance, Kevon Looney, Tomas Satoransky, Terry Ross, Justice Winslow, Goran Dragic, and the Padawan, Colin Sexton. Raymond just dropped out as he was about to make his last pick, so he's going to get autoed. Apologies to you, Raymond. Well, not apologies. I didn't kick you out. He just dropped out. So you can see there's still some value here. Dwayne Bacon on my list. Rui, Garland, Barrett, Monk, all those guys on my queue. So still some value. Farton, Will Barton goes at 146. So, you know, I like, I think that's strong for him. I'm not having, I don't think he's back to a top 50 guy that he was a few years ago, but it's worth taking a flyer on him at this spot. Interestingly, no one's taken Clay. No one's taken Nurkic. We're in a roto league. We can actually just stash those guys. Chrissy Dunn at 147, horrible pick. Markel Fultz at 148. I told you, I'm in on Fultz. I still believe, I tweeted it out, nearly everybody shit on me. You know what I mean? Someone told me he's an absolute traitor, the biggest liar in the history of sports, which of course is nonsense. And those people were Sixers fans, so yeah, cool. But I'm really interested in Fultz. I think he starts this year, not at the beginning of the year, 2020 portion of the year. I reckon he's the starter. I think he can be top 50 at some point in his career, maybe not this year, but I'm really, really big on taking Fultz as a last round flyer. Malik Monk goes at 149, PJ Tucker at 150, Jarrett Culver at 151 is a nice flyer upside. Interestingly, the Garland and Rui, both still available. That's really, and Barrett as well. Really, really interesting. I think that both, you know, I was really contemplating taking Garlo instead of Dragic with one of my final picks. So interestingly that he is still available there. Same with Bacon. These four guys should not be, well, maybe Barrett, but I don't think Bacon, Hachimura, or Garland should be remaining. Dwight Howard, another name someone just mentioned. No one's bothered to draft him yet. Dennis Smith Jr. Ish Smith still available as well. The starting point guard for the Washington Wizards. So there is still some value available here, which is quite interesting. Darius Garland goes there at 153. Troy Brown, who's probably going to miss the beginning of the season. Taurean Prince, another option which people should be looking at. Reggie Jackson, not drafted so far. I don't think there's any upside in Reggie. Derrick Rose, not drafted either. So there are quite a few other options here. And again, if I wanted more steady performance rather than, you know, taking Colin Sexton, I could have grabbed, you know, Ish Smith perhaps, but I just think the upside there on Sexo is a little bit higher. I don't think too many people would be able to debate that. Rui Hachimura at 154. Mario Hezonja, it's-a me,
Mario.
And then Kyle Anderson is your final pick in the draft. So some interesting players undrafted. Harrison Barnes, the pencil. Barnesy. DJ Augustin, not drafted. Markel Fultz was. Reggie Jackson, not drafted. RJ Barrett and Dwayne Bacon. Taurean Prince, not drafted. Troy Brown, not drafted. Ish Smith, not drafted. What other players? Marcus Morris, not drafted. That's no surprise. Yusuf Nurkic and Klay Thompson, not drafted. The Duck, Luke Kennard, Derrick Rose, not drafted, not drafted. Dennis Schroeder, fair enough, because he's shit. Dwight Howard, not drafted. So there's some players on the waiver wire still at this juncture in the draft. I'll be coming back in a sec to just wrap all this up. Just going to adjust my screen for the video. All right, so that does it for that 12-team, 9-category roto mock draft. And I'm going to bring up the projected standings here according to my projections on Basketball Monster. And it is unbelievably tight with how these standings are looking. And it's really interesting to look at because you'll see my team come out and you look at it and go, well, why are they projected so, you know, poorly in terms of the standings? You had pick one. But pick team one, team two, team three, team four, and team five, which is me. Tiago at one, Raymond two, Processing three, Ulala four, and me at five, are projected for 64, 64, 64, 64, and 63 points. So basically a five-way tie for first. And then in sixth spot, DC with 61 points, and Michael Bolton in seventh spot at 60 points. So 4 points separating the top seven teams. That is insanely competitive. You got Darren after that, Peter, El Padrino, three, and the KZs down the bottom of the list there. So that is massively interesting to me, just how tight it is at the top, and that can be swung really, really quickly. As you would notice, you know, my turnovers, I ended up, you know, projected to be seventh in turnover points there. I don't pay attention to turnovers, as you're well aware, and I still find out myself in the middle of the pack there. Tiago's team punted free throws and threes and ended up the top because it's so insanely competitive. You can do that. He's strongest in rebounds and blocks and field goal percentage. But he does have room to move there because his field goal percentage is projected at 51%. The next highest is Processing at 49. So a couple of those big men could go. His blocks at 809. you know, 20 spots higher than Peter in that area, so he could afford to go. 6,100 rebounds, the next highest guy, 5'8". So he's got 300 excess rebounds that he doesn't need. He gets some points, he gets some threes, he could boost his value up there. So he's got a lot of ability to try and maneuver there. Whereas me, I've got, you know, 9 points in points, 6 for threes, 2 for rebounds, 9 for assists, 8 for steals, 3 for blocks, 9 for field goals, 10 for free throws, and 7 for turnovers. So, you know, not as much flexibility as what he does, but looking to grab some guys. And the players on my bench, like Winslow and Sexton, if they don't work out, I can move them and try and grab a big man that comes up and get some of those defensive type numbers. So, yeah, that top team, we'll have a look at Tiago's team just to highlight that punt type situation that he had going. Lillard, Gobert, Bam Bam Adebayo, Miles Bridges, Jamal Murray, Ben Simmons, McCollum, Adams, Poeltl, TJ Warren, Zach Collins, Landry Shamet, and Jarrett Culver. So a couple of flyer types on the bench as well. His free throws project out at like 72% and threes only at 1.2 per game, where other teams are going at 1.6, 1.7 per game. So that's why he is right down there, guys. That'll wrap it up for the first mock draft of mock draft week, a Roto 9-cat 12-team league. Tomorrow is a head-to-head 14-team league, so we're going a little bit deeper with a head-to-head format, more punting probably coming into it there as well. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_BBall and Instagram @LockedOnFantasyBasketball and subscribe. Go and hit the button on YouTube. Do it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Give me a 5-star rating or review. Leave a comment on YouTube. Go and give me the Dutch rudder wherever you can. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Donovan Mitchell.